Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
Risk Averse is still only about 3.5 lengths from the lead. Obone and Filmmaker and Indy 500 treading the field. They're coming to the top of the stretch. And Moscow Burning streaking past the quarter pole with the lead. Wonder Again and Commerçant both set down for the drive. You made it toward the inside as fourth. Risk Averse is cut loose. 1 furlong to go. Moscow Burning driving on that lead. Commerçant is coming to her now. Commerçant, Moscow Burning, nip and tuck down to the line. Risk Averse, Obone in traffic, down to the finish. Commerçant, short lead. Risk Averse surges to win. Risk Averse has won it by 3/4 of a length. Commerçant was second, a three-way photo for third.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening and welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman on a Labor Day weekend Friday. We've got 12 races to cover on tonight's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview by Naira Betts. And to be honest, we could cover more. Unfortunately, not all of the entries are in for this big Labor Day weekend. Don't forget, a lot of great racing action on Monday. Closing day at Saratoga, closing day at Del Mar. Great stakes action Monday all around the country. We're just going to take a look at what's going on Saturday and Sunday. How's everything going, Dave?
It's great. We have a tremendous weekend of racing. This is kind of the switch in the seasons as we close out Saratoga and Del Mar and get ready for kind of the run up to the Breeders' Cup. I love this time of year. And there's sometimes some wise guy horses this time of year, horses that kind of have been laying off, just getting ready for the Breeders' Cup, and other horses who might be a little bit out of gas by this point in the season.
We heard a great renewal of the Flower Bowl from back in 2004 coming into the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts tonight. The first of back-to-back wins from the good mare Risk Averse. She won under Cornelio Velasquez for trainer Pat Kelly in 2004, won under Jose Santos the very next year, and Risk Averse certainly a very, very good filly and mare during her racing days. We'll see if we've got another Risk Averse or maybe somebody who will be even more accomplished down the line than Risk Averse when we watch the Flower Bowl tomorrow at Saratoga. Speaking of Saratoga and our friends at Naira Betts, don't miss out on this year's last weekend of action at Saratoga. The Jockey Club Gold Cup runs at Saratoga for the first time in its history behind a $1 million purse. So act quick with an extra $200 on Naira Betts. They're offering a $200 sign-up bonus to take advantage of this historic race. A 100% match on your first initial deposit, eligible up to $200. Just use the promo code HRRN200. No spaces there. HRRN200. Available nationwide. Sign up for Naira Betts at NairaBetts.com or download the Naira Betts app. Dave, let's get right into it. And they've got a huge card, as expected, this Saturday at Saratoga. And the first race we're going to look at is race number 5. It's the $250,000 Grade 2 Prioress for 3-year-old fillies sprinting 6 furlongs on their main track. Short but sweet, field of 6, and heavily favored on the morning line is number 6, Super Sensational for Mark Cassie and Ricardo Santana Jr.
Yeah, I thought this race came up a little bit soft, and Super Sensational is just a standout, having run in 5 consecutive graded races, including the Grade 1 test last time out. Has only won one of those 5, but has been in with some really, really good horses, Bella Sophia and Search Results last time out. And there's no question, she towers over the field. I'm a little bit interested in a couple of others, though. Amendment 19 for Brad Cox was acquired by Judmont after his last race, a win in a restricted allowance race at the Spa. So it goes from Linda Rice to Brad Cox, a Maryland bred. Sort of interesting with that transaction there. How did you see it?
I agree. I think Amendment 19 is very dangerous in this spot, even though she doesn't have the resume some of these other fillies. And what I say is that she hasn't been stakes tested yet. You know, she's only raced three times in her career. All three efforts were very, very good. One at Aqueduct, one at Belmont, one at Saratoga. And by the way, one on a muddy track, one on a sloppy track, one on a fast track. So certainly not going to be hurt by whatever the conditions are tomorrow at Saratoga. I think she's really got a lot of upside. And if she's 4-1, I agree with you. Amendment 19 is definitely interesting in this spot. There are some other ones in here very talented. It's hard to look past number one, Oksana. She's been racing at Parks, you would think, against maybe a little bit softer competition than what she's going to see tomorrow, but she's been drubbing those fields at Parks. She beat a Pennsylvania-bred maiden special weight field by 18 lengths, came back and beat an open allowance field by 10 lengths, so I think she deserves a chance in the Prioress. Question is, are these waters a little too deep for her?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. She's facing just much, much better than she's ever seen before. That being said, you can't take away those two absolutely dominating performances. It's the type I play against. I don't like the 3-1 morning line. I wouldn't bet that horse at 5-1. But is she viable? Can she win? Hey, the last two races tell you that she can run a little bit. The two, Eddie Meany Miney Moe, $400,000 daughter of Upstart, again, hasn't been running at Saratoga, but ran a solid third in the Monmouth Oaks last time out. Maryland bred, first two races at Pimlico, both victories. And for both of those horses, Oksana and Eddie Meany Miney Moe, some pretty good figs. If you're a fig player, those horses fit in this group.
Okay, so Dave likes the favorite Super Sensational, thinks number 5, Amendment 19, is certainly worth a look as well. I'm going to try to beat the favorite with number 5, Amendment 19. I don't think she'll be 4-1. She probably is, you know, that's where she deserves to be because she's least less accomplished than some of the other ones. But with those connections, I think she's going to get played. Don't think she'll be favored, but I think she'll be lower than her 4-1 morning line. The eighth race at Saratoga tomorrow is the Grade 3 $200,000 Saranac Stakes. These are for three-year-olds going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Got a field of 7, but one of them is a main track only, number 7, Risk Taking. So technically a field of 6 here going to post, Dave. And the Todd Pletcher trainee, number 4, Never Surprised. We haven't seen her since the end of January at Gulfstream Park, but when she was racing, she was really, or rather when he was racing, he was really good.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, those first two wins jump off the page, big-time victories, and came back in the Grade 3 Kitten's Joy at Gulfstream and ran a competitive race, was a huge favorite, and ran second, but kind of took back early in that race and now has been on the bench since January. Obviously, those first two races make Never Surprised a big player here for Mike Rapoli and Todd Pletcher. It's unclear to me exactly what we should expect off the bench.
So Never Surprised is 8-5 on the morning line. He's actually not favored, though. The morning line favorite is number 1, Public Sector, for Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz. This is a horse who has always been rumored to be a good one. He looks like he's just coming into his good form right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a jockey switch from Flavian Prat, who had been on the East Coast for his last three races, to Irad Ortiz Jr., been the favorite in all three, won twice, finished second once, running against a top breed of horses. This is a horse that was in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last year, and he's going to be a tough customer here. There is another one, though, I like as well, Founder out of the Chad Brown barn. The second horse that Chad Brown runs in these stakes races, particularly on turf, the uncoupled Chad Brown entry, has a knack for winning. And the numbers over the last several years are staggering at how often it's Chad's second horse that wins the race. I think that horse, two turf efforts, both have been sharp. Last time out, won at Monmouth over a mile and a 16th in a stakes race. And the figs are a little bit light, but I think that horse might be coming into his own. If it were me, I'd play the two Chad horses, Public Sector and Founder, instead of Never Surprised. So I just think there's a little more question marks involved.
Okay, so Dave likes the two Chad Brown runners, numbers 1 and 5. I'm going to go the other way. I'll be the naysayer, or maybe the power of positive thinking if you're on the Todd Pletcher train. I think Never Surprised has a lot of upside. I don't think he was real comfortable last time out in that race at Gulfstream Park, and I think he can run a lot better than that. We'll see who's right in the Grade 3 Saranac goes as race 8 tomorrow at Saratoga. 11th race on the card at Saratoga is this year's renewal of the Grade 1 Flower Bowl. This is a race that used to be the Flower Bowl Handicap. It was the Flower Bowl Invitational. Now it's the Flower Bowl Stakes. Whatever you want to call it, it's a $600,000 race. It's a Grade 1 race. It really is some of the cream of the crop as far as fillies and mares going a long distance on the turf. The distance here is a mile and three-eighths. It is part of the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series, so it's a win-and-you're-in event, which basically means the winner of this race gets all expenses paid and a guaranteed spot in this year's Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf to be run at Del Mar in just a couple of months. All eyes on number 3, Warlike Goddess. And I don't know about you, Dave. This is a filly who just continues to impress me every time she goes to the racetrack.
Well, there's no question. 5 wins in 6 races, and it seems like each one is better than the last. Stretching out, mile and a half, no problem at all. 2 easy, easy wins. Now, this is a 3-turn turf race at Saratoga, and weird things sometimes happen in these races. And for Warlike Goddess, she's going to need some tempo to set her up. Do you see a pace setter or two in this race?
Well, the funny thing about her is it looks like she needs a quick pace to run at, but she really doesn't. She just doesn't show any early speed early on, and she catches up to the field almost effortlessly by the time they get to the quarter pole. And simply put, she goes about 2 strides. Well, let's put it this way. Her strides are about twice as long, it seems, as everyone else's. So she gathers momentum. She catches up to the field easily. And by the time they get to the top of the stretch, they just cannot outgun her that last quarter of a mile or just under a quarter of a mile. So while her figs may not be dominant over this field, I think she stands out. The other one that I would use or maybe play underneath if you think that Warlike Goddess can't lose is number 1, La Signare. I'm not sure how she'll do it a mile and three-eighths, but she certainly is a classy filly. She's been running in nothing but grade 1 and grade 2s for the last few years and running very well against those top-class runners. Mile and three-eighths is a big question mark, though. She's bred to handle it, but so far she hasn't tried it, at least not that I see.
I like her, and I like her a lot, running against grade 1 competition the last 3 times and hitting the board in each of them. I think Altica and Summer Romance, who beat her last time, would be significant favorites in this race. I think she gets a ground-saving rail trip in this event. And if you go back and watch the Diana on July 17th, she did not have a good trip. She steadied and then had nowhere to go down the stretch. I like the concept that Warlike Goddess is going to be further back. La Signare gets the early move on the pace setters and maybe goes by and holds on. I also think it's worth discussing American Bridge, who has not been running in the best races in Europe, running in Italy and France. I don't think she's good enough. That being said, there have been 3 grade 1 turf races at Saratoga this summer, and all 3 have been won by European runners.
And she gets one of the top riders in Irad Ortiz aboard, which certainly helps her chances. So Dave going to go with number 1, La Signare. I'm going to wipe the chalk off my face with number 3, Warlike Goddess. But I respect number 1, La Signare, this Saturday in race 11 at Saratoga, the Grade 1 Flower Bowl Stakes. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Jockey Club Gold Cup, then head out where the turf meets the surf out at Old Del Mar. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Kentucky Downs is home to the best turf racing in America and attracts the largest fields in the country, competing for over $15 million in purses over 6 days, making it the largest prize money available in thoroughbred racing due to the addition of KTDF funds. Sign up for Kentucky Downs Turf Handicapping Challenge presented by DRF and win NHC and BCBC entries, as well as a chance to be crowned the Betmakers King of the Turf. For more information on how to sign up, visit kingoftheturf.com.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
It is Louis Couture's and Skip Away, and they are inseparable as they turn for home with Cigar, an imposing presence in behind them. They turn for home, and Skip Away has taken the lead. It is Skip Away in front. Louis Couture's down inside. Cigar bearing down on them. He's a length behind Skip Away with one furlong to go. Skip Away, tough customer today. Jerry Bailey fully extending Cigar. Skip Away might pull it off. Here comes Cigar. Cigar wanders to the outside. Skip Away, here's the finish, and it is. I believe Skip Away got it. I believe Skip Away has defeated Cigar today. Shane Sellers thinks so. It was very close.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1996 Jockey Club Gold Cup, and indeed Shane Sellers was right. He drove Skip Away to the victory, beating the previous year's champ, Cigar. That was the first of two consecutive Jockey Club Gold Cups won by Skip Away. Jerry Bailey getting on the winner, Skip Away, in 1997. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman bringing you all of the Saturday and Sunday action on Labor Day weekend. And it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Tapita Surface at Gulfstream Park nears completion. Synthetic racing will soon join dirt and racing on the wagering menu at Gulfstream Park. The Florida track began notifying horsemen September 2nd that its Tapita track, which is being installed on the outer portion of its turf course, would be ready for use in approximately 2 weeks. At that time, the turf course will be rested and seeded in preparation for racing later in the year. The notification said that the races scheduled for the turf in the condition book will be moved to the Tapita, which will require adjusting distances scheduled at 7.5 furlongs in a mile to a longer distance of 1.70 miles. Many observers feel turf specializing horses are more likely to transfer their form to a synthetic surface than a dirt one. Ultimately, Gulfstream plans to cart a variety of turf, synthetic, and dirt races. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The September issue of Blood Horse Magazine features 154 pages, including No Easy Ride as Top Jockeys Reach Their Peak. Naira Colony features impressive depth. National parks, integrity, safety, more important than ever as Philly area track garners greater attention. And a sleeping giant stirs, big change could be coming to racing in China, but how big is big? Download a copy of the September issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine app via the App Store or Google Play, or subscribe today and receive a free gift at bloodhorse.com/subscribers only. Back now with Dave Friedman on this week's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. When we came out of break, we heard the stretch call from Tom Durkin of the 1996 Jockey Club Gold Cup. Dave, this will be the first year that the Jockey Club Gold Cup is run at Saratoga Racecourse. They didn't get a big field this year. I think they were hoping for a bigger field, but they got a really nice quality field for the Grade 1 million-dollar mile-and-a-quarter affair. Six of them set to go to post. It marks the graded stakes return of number one, Forza Di Oro. He's 8-5 on the morning line. And the return of last year's Jockey Club Gold Cup winner, number four, Happy Saver, second choice at 9-5.
Yeah, six-horse field. I think five of them can win. And while Forewarned is an enormous long shot, we saw his trainer pull an upset in this race at 45-1 with Discreet Lover several years ago. So there are a lot of options. Forza Di Oro for Bill Mott out of the Don Alberto stable, winner of three straight and really, really impressive in those wins. Came off a long vacation to win in the mud going away at Saratoga last time. And I think he's extremely logical and the most likely winner out of this group. But Happy Saver, can't really knock him, right? Won his first five races and then came back, ran four wide in the slop last time at Belmont. That's a race that Max Player beat him. Max Player back in this spot, too, has never been one of my favorites, but certainly viable here. I think Dallas Stewart's Chess Chief isn't impossible at a big price either. You throw out the race on turf at Colonial and you look at all those races against Maxfield, who's going to be one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup.
Okay, so you like number one, Forza Di Oro on top. I'm going to take the defending champ, Happy Saver. I didn't like the trip that he got under Irad Ortiz last time out. Now, I don't know if it was a factor of a sloppy racetrack for the first time, but you're not supposed to be four wide on both turns in a six-horse field, and that's certainly not what you normally get from a top rider like Irad Ortiz. I have a feeling that the sloppy track played into that a little bit. Hopefully the track is a little bit better. Happy Saver has already won on the main track at Saratoga in his career. He's obviously proven on a fast track. Irad's ridden him several times in the past. I'm looking for not necessarily a ground-saving trip, but a little more than four wide, a little more ground-saving than four wide on both turns. So we'll see if number four, Happy Saver, returns to the winner's circle. I went with Happy Saver. Dave going with number one, Forza Di Oro. And by the way, our friend Anthony Stabile would be very happy with your selection. He will not be happy with mine. He is a gigantic Forza Di Oro fan, and I'm sure Anthony will be unbuckling on Forza Di Oro this Saturday in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Goes as race number 12 on the blockbuster Saturday card at Saratoga. Let's head all the way across the country to Del Mar, where they're having their closing weekend as well. And race 9 tomorrow at Del Mar is the Grade 2 John C. Mabee for fillies and mares, going a mile and 1/8 on the turf. Got a nice field of 9 going to post, Dave. Where'd you end up?
Well, I think this is a terrific betting race because if you pick the winner, you're going to get a decent price. And I ended up with going to Vegas for Richard Baltus. I think he's going to thrive at a little bit longer distance than this. This is a mile and an eighth. I just thought his last race was huge. He was exiting Grade 1, Grade 2 competition. He stepped down in class and just smashed a pretty good field that has three horses come back and win. And he's running mid-90 buyers every time. I think you can go with a lot of them. I think Maxim Raid and Dog Tag are both very, very viable. But I think you get a little bit of a better price with going to Vegas, who is in really good form right now.
Okay, so number 8 going to Vegas for Dave, 4-1 on the morning line. Regular rider Umberto Rispoli off going to Vegas, sticking with the Chad Brown trainee Dog Tag. But you know what? You pick up a pretty good replacement. In fact, you pick up the top rider in the colony by far in Flavian Pratt on number 8 going to Vegas for Richie Baltus tomorrow at Del Mar. I'm going to go with one of the other ones you mentioned, number 1, Maxim Raid. Like the inside post, should be able to save ground. Juan Hernandez also having a nice meet at Del Mar. Both going to Vegas and Maxim Raid, I think, will be closing a little bit in a race where there's plenty of speed. Quiet Secretary is fast. Nasty is a front runner. She's Our Charm figures to be forwardly placed. So I think it plays into the hands of at least somebody coming from a little bit off the pace. I'm hoping it's number one, Maxim Rate. Dave's hoping it's number eight, Going to Vegas. Race nine, the grade two, John C. Maybe on the turf tomorrow at Del Mar. The 11th race on the Saturday card at Del Mar is the Grade 2 Del Mar Derby. These are three-year-olds going a mile and one-eighth on the turf. And we've got a big field of 12. In fact, we've got a big field of 14. I'm sorry, 14 of them set to go to post. And really a lot of different ways you can go here, Dave. We're jammed up.
Well, I love this race because there are 14 horses and you probably legitimately could pick 10 or 11 of them. The horses I like best, I can't actually bet. They're the three horses marooned on the outside, but the 11 post and out is 1-25 this meet. And over the last 7 years at a mile and an eighth on the turf, post positions 10 through 14 are 4-84. So I really like Flashiest. I think you toss out the last on the turf at Saratoga against better. And I think he fits great here. But in reality, I think you have to play something further inside. And I'll go all the way inside because the one post has been terrific. The inside three posts at this distance are winning 41% of the races at Del Mar. And Hudson Ridge for Bob Baffert and Flavian Prad, you know, is going to get that first kick and be right there. And in a race with 14 horses, having the right position, saving ground, I think that's where you want to be.
I 100% agree with you in this spot. And if we somehow got 9-2 on number one Hudson Ridge, which is what his morning line is, I would have to run to the window. Hudson Ridge didn't have the greatest of trips last time out when 8-5 in the grade three La Jolla. It wasn't his fault. There was another horse that interfered with him. He ended up finishing third in a blanket finish that day, only beaten a neck. He was placed second via disqualification. So he had a little bit of trouble down the lane. Obviously, his good races make him the one to beat. Love the fact that Pratt is getting aboard. Is, you know, the bigger the fields in Southern California, the more I want Flavian Pratt on my horses because he seems to be, you know, he has that, I hate to say it, especially being a West Coast guy, he has kind of the East Coast riding mentality, you know, the same kind of riding style as Joel Rosario or Irad Ortiz, where, you know, it's save ground, save ground, save ground, look for a seam and go. And he seems to be in the right place more often than not. So I agree with you. Number one, Hudson Ridge. I think this horse is very dangerous. He's been in the money 4 of 6 times on the turf. 2 wins, 2 second-place finishes to his credit. And you know what? He maybe should have won the La Jolla last time out if he would have had a cleaner trip. I think he'll love that inside post. Hudson Ridge for both Dave and myself in the Grade 2 Del Mar Derby goes as race 11 tomorrow at Del Mar. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll head over to Monmouth for their stake race tomorrow, the Red Bank, and then start taking a look at the Sunday action. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times of 1:10 p.m. Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:50 p.m. Eastern. And on September 18th and 19th, you are not going to want to miss another big 2 days of racing with four Grade 1 races, including three Breeders' Cup Challenge Winning Your In races featuring the Woodbine Mile, Natalma, and Summer Stakes. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com. That's woodbine.com.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Gilded Time also moving strongly on the far outside between horses. Big Raven along the inside in a groove, but it's Wild Zone in front as they turn for home. Gilded Time now on the outside, charging up with Great Navigator dropping back a bit. It's Gilded Time on the outside, on the inside, Wild Zone. Those two now doing battle, Wild Zone and Gilded Time. Gilded Time on the outside now getting to the front. Gilded Time winning the sapling with Wild Zone second.
Bob Weems, the legend himself, on the call of the 1992 Sapling Stakes, won by Gilded Time under Chris McCarron for trainer Daryl Vienna. He would go on to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile later on that year. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, and Dave Freeman on a Labor Day Friday. And let's get out to Monmouth Park, but first things first, before we get to the sapling, on Saturday, the featured race is the $150,000 Red Bank Stakes for three-year-olds and up going a mile on the turf. And this is a tough race to handicap, Dave. We've got a field of six. The question is it just value proposition for Chad Brown and everyone else, or can we beat this horse?
You can spend as much time on this as you want to. If value proposition is 4 to 5, he's an unbelievable value. I think he's 2 to 5 or something along those lines. I just don't think there's anyone in this race that can run with him. It's Chad. It's Clarovich. Yeah, he's never won a stakes, but he's been in with really, really good horses, and I think they have found a spot here to win easily, pick up a nice purse. I mean, Chad Brown doesn't go to Monmouth that much. When he does in stakes races, he wins 38% over the last 5 years, 63 runners, 23 victories, 12 seconds and 10 thirds. I think it's value proposition, and I think it is by a big, big margin.
Value proposition 4 to 5 on the morning line. Didn't really have a chance to run his best race with the lost shoe last time out in the restricted Lure Stakes. Trying Monmouth for the first time, but picks up top jock Paco Lopez, who's hitting at about 30% for the meet. I agree with you. I think if you got 4 to 5 on value proposition, you should just drop everything and bet on value proposition. 4 to 5 morning line, I'd be shocked if he's higher than 1 to 2 at post time. Value proposition for both Dave and myself tomorrow in the Red Bank Stakes goes as race 12 on the Monmouth card. Folks, don't miss out on this year's last weekend of action at Saratoga. The Jockey Club Gold Cup runs at Saratoga for the first time in its history behind a $1 million purse tomorrow, so act quick with an extra $200 on Naira Betts. They're offering a $200 sign-up bonus to take advantage of this historic race, a 100% match on your first initial deposit, eligible to up to $200. Just use the promo code HRRN200. That's HRRN200. No spaces. Available nationwide. Sign up for Naira Betts at NairaBetts.com or download the Naira Betts app. Bobby Newman and Dave Freeman taking you through the Labor Day weekend edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. And Dave, coming back out of break, we heard the call of the 1992 edition of the Sapling Stakes. This is a race that has a storied history. It began back in 1946, and really a who's who of horses throughout racing history have won the Sapling Stakes. It starts with Buck Passer in 1965. Foolish Pleasure won in 74. Aladar won this race back in 1977. The very fast Mike Chambers trainee Hilco Scamper won in the mid-80s. Bet Twice, Tejano, Carson City, Deposit Ticket, Hennessy, Smoke Lacken. Yes, it's true. Really a who's who, especially not only just sprinters, but horses that have gone on to really bigger and better things in their career have gone to Monmouth Park and have competed in and won the Sapling Stakes. Maybe we'll see that kind of runner in Sunday's edition. Race 9 on the Monmouth card Sunday is the $200,000 Sapling. Two-year-olds going the two-turn mile, field of eight going to post. Don't have the morning lines yet, but it's a tough race to handicap, Dave, because these horses, for the most part, are all stretching out to a mile for the first time in their career. In fact, nobody in this race has been further than 7 furlongs. Only one of the horses in the race has been even as far as 7 furlongs, and that's the Florida shipper Chancellor Bay.
Well, I was hoping that Dwayne Lucas would have a horse since he's won the race a record 8 times, but there's no easy out for us. So, yeah, it's a difficult race to look at, and the two Todd Pletcher horses, Midnight Worker and Double Thunder, I think both make sense. Midnight Thunder won a maiden special weight at Saratoga, went off at 10-1 in that 6-furlong race. Double Thunder, that's a Rapoli horse. Double Thunder for Phoenix Thoroughbreds with Pletcher. 2 for 3, ran competitive races in the Saratoga special, won the Bashford Manor. I think that's the most likely winner here, the horse that's done the most against best competition. But again, stretching out, I'm certainly not going to take a real low price. I'm a little bit interested in Under the Gun, the Sonic Gun Runner, the Steve Asmussen first-time LASIK starter, who is a maiden but got bet in his first race at Belmont Park. I wouldn't say I have a really, really good feel or strong opinion on this, but if I'm going to pick one, it's Double Thunder. If I get a price on Under the Gun, could go that direction.
So Double Thunder, already a graded stakes winner, as you mentioned, in his career with that runaway win in the Grade 3 Bashford Manor, ran a better-than-looked effort in the Saratoga Special in his next out, where he tried to come from way back and was very wide around the turn and just simply couldn't close into that better competition. I think number 4, Chancellor Bay, is where I want to go. Not only has he run the longest distance thus far, he's getting LASIKs for the first time, and he's bred to be more of a router than a sprinter, being by honor code out of a Smart Strike mare. He goes for connections that, let's face it, are not billboard connections. Daniel Pita owns and trains. He's trained in South Florida year-round for several years now. He's never been a high-percentage trainer. And to my knowledge, he's never had a whole lot of quote-unquote really good horses. So Chancellor Bay is a big chance for Dan Pita to, kind of get on the national scene as far as notoriety. He looked really good getting his maiden win by over 3 lengths last time out. Horse who was 3rd in the race came back to get his maiden win in his next start. Like I said, I like the extra distance for Chancellor Bay. I think I'm supposed to root for number 7, American Sanctuary, since I called 2 of his races here at Prairie Meadows, and he actually ran very well in both of those races. He closed on a track that, to be perfectly honest, is way more favoring to speed horses more often than not. So for American Sanctuary to close at Prairie Meadows the way he did those races is very good. I don't think he's overly bred to be better routing and sprinting, though, and that's why I didn't put him on top. I'm going to go with number 4, Chancellor Bay, and Dave going to go with number 1, Double Thunder, coming out of those back-to-back graded stakes races. Race 9 on Sunday at Monmouth goes as the Sapling. The Sunday feature at Saratoga, well, we're back into the graded stakes column. It's a grade 1, the $300,000 spinaway. These are 2-year-old fillies set to go 7 furlongs on the main track. A very talented field of 9, Dave. Many of these coming off resounding wins against maidens in their previous start. I guess the question is, who do you think is going to improve the most and who's going to get the right trip?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a difficult race to handicap. Last year, Vetquist won, went on to win the Breeders' Cup. Juvenile, so you know this is a quality group. I like Echo Zulu. I don't love 8-5, $300,000 horse for Winchell and Asmussen, and just rolled in his first race. Just a huge, huge effort. But I don't know that that's a mortal lock. Pretty Birdie certainly is reasonable. I think Dallas Stewart has a couple of horses this weekend that at prices have a chance. And yeah, maybe Sequist isn't his best, but I think there's an opportunity there. I like the PPs on Saucy Lady T at a huge number. I mean, has run competitively in graded stakes races. I'm going to pick Echo Zulu. I think that's the most likely winner. But if I were betting the race, I'd be playing something at a number.
So I'm pretty much right on board with what you're saying. I picked Echo Zulu on top, but mainly because she, I think, comes out of the best last-time effort. Not necessarily the best field, although the filly who was third outfoxed came back and got her maiden win in her next start. I'd be shocked if some of those fillies behind Echo Zulu didn't come back and win in their next start. It was such a highly rated race. But I agree with you. Just because she ran so well last time out doesn't mean somebody can't improve and get to that level this time. And it also doesn't mean that Echo Zulu won't regress a little bit off that big effort. I put her on top. What do you do with number two, Girl with a Dream? She looked great at Ellis Park in her debut. She was expected to win. Bet down to 6-5 for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux. Pressed the pace. Ended up winning by 7 lengths. Fast time. 57 seconds flat for the 5 furlongs. And with that Corinthian blood on the dam side, you'd think the extra distance would only help her chances.
It's a mistake to throw out anything that Brad Cox brings to the track. And yeah, I mean, to say that that was impressive is a huge understatement. Bet like it was a runner and ran like a runner. So one of many that I think have a legitimate chance in here, no question.
Okay, so both Dave and I reluctantly going with number three, Echo Zulu on top. Reluctantly is a wrong word. Tepid selection for both of us. We both think that she's her last race makes her the one to beat, but we don't think that she necessarily lays over this field. And there are certainly some other fillies in here who ran well enough to say that they've got a chance. And if there's any improvement at all, it really could be a blanket finish. I'm really interested in watching this year's renewal of the Grade 1 Spinaway. Goes as race 11 on the Sunday Saratoga card. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll head out to Del Mar. We'll head to Kentucky Downs for some Sunday Stakes action. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Kentucky Downs is home to the best turf racing in America and attracts the largest fields in the country, competing for over $15 million in purses over 6 days, making it the largest prize money available in thoroughbred racing due to the addition of KTDF funds. Sign up for Kentucky Downs Turf Handicapping Challenge presented by DRF and win NHC and BCBC entries, as well as a chance to be crowned the Betmakers King of the Turf. For more information on how to sign up, visit kingoftheturf.com.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch here. Be sure to join me Saturday morning on a star-studded edition of the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Hall of Fame trainer Todd Pletcher looks ahead to Happy Saver's title defense in Saturday's Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. Fox Sports and NYRA analyst Acacia Courtney previews the four greatest stakes on Saturday's Saratoga card. I go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with NBC announcer Larry Comas, and Chauncey Morris, executive director of the KTA KTOB, discusses the impact of the KTDF on Kentucky purses and breeding, plus so much more. It's a jam-packed 3 hours on the Equine Forum, Saturday, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is Eddie Delahoussaye. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
The two favorites still stride for stride at the top of the lane now. Heads are turned for home. Songbird on the outside. Pretty and Cool, the first one to get a tap on the shoulder. They are homeward bound now, and Mike Smith asks Songbird to respond. She does so willingly. Pretty and Cool's running a huge one on the inside, but Songbird's class is sticking out a mile. She's just exuding class. Songbird and Mike Smith could not have been more impressive in the Del Mar debutante. They finished up romping in second. Pretty and Cool, inland overseas.
The legendary Trevor Denman on the call of the 2015 edition of the Del Mar Debutante, won by the great filly Songbird. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, and Dave Friedman on a Labor Day Friday, bringing you action from the Saturday and Sunday cards on Labor Day weekend. Don't forget, a lot of these tracks that wouldn't normally run on Mondays will be open this Monday for Labor Day. And, of course, it is closing day at Saratoga and Del Mar. So a lot of stakes action on Monday as well. But we're sticking with Saturday and Sunday on this week's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. And speaking of the Del Mar Debutante, it goes this Sunday as race number 10, where the turf meets the surf. $300,000 on the line. Grade 1 event for the 2-year-old fillies going 7 furlongs. Wayne Lucas and Bob Baffert tied, 9 wins apiece for the most wins by a trainer in this race. Wayne Lucas doesn't have any in this year's edition. Bob Baffert has 2, and they both have shots. Number 2, Ida, and number 7, Grace Adler.
Yeah, and they both look really good. Grace Adler, $700,000 daughter of Curlin, went off at 2-5 and looked the part last time with Flavian Prad. And Ada, $550,000 daughter of Munnings, John Velasquez, a cross-country to ride, and both races really strong, but was denied by Phil D'Amato's Elm Drive, who returns in this race, too. I think this is a terrific betting race. I think you can pick a whole bunch that are very viable. I have no sense of what the betting is going to be like in this race. Do you, Bobby? Who is going to be the favorite, and what's the number going to be?
Well, I think the morning line favorite will end up being Elm Drive because she won the Grade 2 Sorrento last time out, beating Ada. However, I'm going to pick Ada on top. She was only beaten ahead by Elm Drive that day. I don't think she had the greatest of starts that afternoon. And no disrespect to jockey Abel Cedillo, who's ridden her in both of her career starts. You're picking up Hall of Famer John Velasquez. And
yeah,
that's going to be an upgrade over most riders out there these days. He's not flying out there, you know, because he just wants to hang out at the beach. So I'm going to take Ada to turn the tables on Elm Drive Sunday in the Del Mar Debutante.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. But there are a couple others I like. Am I going to get a decent price at the Sea?
I think you have to get a decent price on at the Sea. Even though she's undefeated coming into this race, her wins in stakes competition, I don't think she faced the toughest fields in the world, including a state-bred field. She is a cow-bred last time out. Her final times have not been overwhelmingly fast, and she does draw the inside. So there are things that make it seem like this is going to be a tougher spot for her than what we've seen in the past. But, you know, I'm taking shots at a filly who's done nothing wrong in 3 races. You know, it's hard to really, you know, cut apart a runner who's undefeated 3-for-3.
I just thought the last race is better than you would think because she steadied and still found a way. Maybe the level of competition isn't quite as good. I think Mark Glatt's Dance to the Music is viable in here too. I mean, we're all going to look at the Baffert horses. They're the most likely winners maybe, but I think you can go deeper, and I'm going to take a price. I'm going to wait and read the board and figure out who I like, but there's going to be someone that offers value here. If you ask me who's going to win the race, I'll go with Grace Adler, but if you ask me who I'm going to bet, it's not going to be either of the two Baffert horses.
Okay, so Dave going with number 7, Grace Adler, with a kind of gun-to-his-head selection in the Del Mar Debutante. I went with the other Baffert trainee, number 2, Ada. I would also use number 4, Dance to the Music. I was impressed by her maiden victory for Mark Glad and Abel Cedillo, and I like the fact that she's come back to work fast, going 6 furlongs since the race. So I don't think the extra distance will hurt her. It's just a matter of whether she's good enough or not to beat this field. Should be a fun renewal of the Grade 1 Del Mar Debutante. Goes as race 10 this Sunday out at Del Mar. Let's head over to Kentucky Downs, where they start their abbreviated meet this coming Sunday, and they've got a couple of big stakes races on tap. Of course, nothing but turf racing at Kentucky Downs, and the 9th race on the Sunday card is a good one. It's the $250,000 Dueling Grounds Oaks. These are 3-year-old fillies set to go a mile and 5/16 on the turf. We've got a field of 9 set to go to post, Dave. And the tepid favorite on the morning line is the Brad Cox trainee, Adventuring.
Yeah, I like Adventuring. I think Brad Cox and Godolphin have a pretty good one on their hands here since they've shifted to turf. The horses run rather well. But I like Earth Strike best at 6-1 for Mark Cassie. I understand that Adventuring and Core Values are coming out of stakes races, but Earth Strike is coming out of a race that I think was better than a stakes race. It was just an optional claimer at Saratoga, but I thought he made a big move in that race, or she made a big move in that race. The horses that she ran against are pretty good. I think more distance is going to help her in this race. And I think kind of a funny course might be good for a horse that looks to me like it's going to need to do it in the final eighth or final quarter of a mile. And there's plenty of track to race at Kentucky Downs.
That is an understatement and a half, my friend. When it seems like they're approaching the finish line, you get the camera angle changes and you realize they've got another eighth of a mile or so. It seems like it goes on forever down the stretch at Kentucky Downs. So Dave likes number 9, Earthstrike, and I was going to pick Earthstrike as well, but I have one major issue with this filly, and that's the fact that she was ridden by Joel Rosario in her previous 2 starts, and it looks like Joel Rosario opted off to ride the Brad Cox trainee, Adventuring. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think Adventuring is any better than Earthstrike. I much prefer Joel Rosario on Adventuring than the rider who picked up Earthstrike. Does that weigh into your handicapping at all?
Yeah, it's totally reasonable. It's also why we're going to get 6-1 instead of 3-1. What were your thoughts on Core Values? I think that horse is going to be overbet here.
Well, to be perfectly honest, when handicapping this race, now, I agree with you. Core Values may be overbet, but the simple, and that's because she's won 3 races in a row, including a couple of stake races at Arlington and Ellis. When I handicap this race, I don't see anyone that just completely stands out. I don't even see 3 or 4 of them that stand out over the rest. I think it's a group of fillies who's looking to find their way. Right now, I don't think there are any quote-unquote superstars in this field. None of them have shown that kind of run to me yet. They're certainly not the ones where I would think in the big races at, let's say, New York or in Keeneland or out at Del Mar, the big graded races for the 3-year-old fillies or eventually for fillies and mares, that these would be the major contenders. So you're either looking for the best of just a pretty good bunch or who can really, you know, maybe has the most upside. And I agree with you. I don't think Core Values fits in either of those assessments. I think Adventuring still has some upside. I like Joelle getting aboard. I think Earthstrike still has some upside. You know, she is just 1-for-9 in her career. So, and she's been beaten recently in a lot of allowance races. So there are really more question marks than definites with all of these runners. If you have my best advice to people playing this race is, if you don't It's either you have a strong opinion on one or two, or hit the all button for fun and profit and just hope some 15-1 shot comes rolling in. Because to be honest, the winners that are going to be 15-1 in this race are really not much different than the ones who are going to be 3 or 4-1. Would you agree with that?
To a degree. I mean, if you play horizontal tickets in the way that I do on a very, very regular basis, you subdivide the horses. You've got your A's and your B's and your C's. And to me, Earthstrike and Adventuring look like A's. And Core Values, who beat the boys last time, but I'm a little skeptical, looks more like a B. I think Michael Matz's horse, Line Dancing, would probably be a B. Maybe Cassie's other horse in the winner's circle could be a B. But it's not a race I would want to throw everyone out. In fact, I might play everyone else underneath as a C.
Okay, so a wide-open renewal of the Dueling Grounds Oaks goes as the ninth race on the Sunday card at Kentucky Downs. Last race we're going to cover, race 10 Sunday at Kentucky Downs, the $750,000 Dueling Grounds Derby, three-year-olds going a mile and 5/16 on the turf. Big field of 12, where'd you end up?
You know, I like the horses that came out of that same race at Saratoga. 8, Cellist, and 12, DeJour, those two look the best to me. And if you give me another one, it's probably going to be Yes This Time out of that same race. I just think they've been running against bigger and better. Of those two horses, I'm not thrilled that DeJour is marooned way out in the 12 hole. But, you know, I think that horse is better. So that's where I would go. I don't think you're going to get an amazing price. But in a big field, maybe you get 2-1, 5-2, and that's probably satisfactory.
Well, I agree with your assessment that race, the Saratoga Derby Invitational, run on August 7th, so just a month ago, has the best, you know, those are the runners that you really need to focus on. Unlike you, I'm not sure that either Cellist or DeJour really wants this mile and 5/16 distance. So I'm going to go to the other one you mentioned, number 3, Yes This Time, who was riding a 5-race winning streak between Gulfstream Park and Delaware Park going into the Saratoga Derby Invitational. He did not have a good trip that day. In fact, he had a lot of trouble coming out of the gate. He was much further back than I think he really wanted to be and just really never got going. I think he'll be closer to the pace with a clean start. That was something that he doesn't normally have breaks like that. It was more of other horses causing that than him causing it himself. So I'm hoping for a better start with Yes It's Time Sunday at Kentucky Downs. Tyler Gaffleone, who always rides well at Kentucky Downs, is aboard the Kelly Breen trainee for the first time. We'll see if he gets back to his winning ways. 6-1 on the morning line. I think he's as good, if not better, than others in this field. That's the direction I'm going to go in the Dueling Grounds Derby, race 10 on the Sunday card at Kentucky Downs. All 12 races now in the books. It's time for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
Dave, take it away.
Race 11, Saratoga on Saturday, the Flower Bowl Invitational, Grade 1, 600,000. I know you like Warlike Goddess Big. That's your big chalk of the weekend, and we all try to stay away from them. I like the rail horse. I think you get a heck of a price at La Signora at 5-1. I really think that horse has been running against better, and I think running quite well. I thought it was blocked last time out and very easily could have been tighter to Altiqua and Summer Romance, who I think would tower over this group. If you tell me that can be a $12 horse, it's only a 7-horse field. I'm just thrilled with the value there.
So you and I are looking at the best bet in different ways. There's a best bet, which may be a best wagering proposition, or there is the most likely winner. You took it option A. I'm going to take it option B. Listen, I don't want to give out big favorites too often. This is like giving, you know, selling water to people who've been crossing, you know, going through the desert. I don't see how you get by number 6 value proposition in the 12th race at Monmouth on Saturday, the Red Bank Stakes. Simply put, almost every race he runs lays over this field. If you somehow got 4-5, I'd run to the window. He looks like a single every which way but loose. Yeah, he's probably going to be closer to a $3 horse, but he is my most likely winner on the weekend. I'll go with Value Proposition in the Red Bank Stakes, race 12, on the Saturday card at Monmouth Park. That'll wrap up tonight's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, the show that launched the network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. Join Mike Penna as he's got Hall of Fame trainer Todd Pletcher on to look ahead at Happy Savers title defense in Saturday's Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. Fox Sports and Naira analyst Acacia Courtney joins the show and previews the four graded stakes on the Saturday Saratoga card. NBC and Kentucky Downs announcer Larry Colmus joins us to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup. Chauncey Morris, executive director of the KTA and KTOB, discusses the impact of the KTDF on Kentucky purses, breeding, and more. Barry Pearl looks ahead to next Saturday's Jockeys and Jeans event at Monmouth Park to benefit the PDJF. Sean Clancy goes in the room with retired jockey Robbie Davis. Kurt Becker takes you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lanes Inn and Keeneland, plus Unsung Heroes presented by Claiborne with Brad Cox, exercise writer Katie Tolbert, and today's first bet. It's all tomorrow morning, 8 to 11 Eastern time on the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. Well, Dave, we've covered a lot on this Labor Day weekend here on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Obviously, we couldn't get all of the weekend action in, but we got the Saturday and Sunday action in. Don't forget, a lot of action coming up Monday as well. Hope you the best of luck, or rather wish you the best of luck all weekend. Wish you a very safe and fun holiday weekend. And of course, we'll join you back for race day next Wednesday here on the network, 3 to 6 Eastern time. For producer Lee Delapina and for my co-host Dave Friedman, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great weekend, everyone. Have a great Labor Day.